scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Hear now the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and even his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God for us, the people of God.
Well, I know a man who got his very first pair of glasses when he was 12 years old. He said it was such an emotional experience for him that when he put the glasses on, he began to cry. He said he never realized that he had such bad eyesight. He never realized that the world wasn't as fuzzy as he thought it was. And then someone gave him a pair of corrective lenses, and he put them on, and things became much clearer. He said everything was just so beautiful. This, of course, begs a question for all of us, and the question is this: how clearly do you see what's going on around you? How clearly do you see what matters most in this world? Can you see what your purpose is? Can you see what your identity is? Are those things apparent to you, or is it a little bit fuzzy? You know, sometimes we all need to refocus our vision. Sometimes we all need to recenter our hearts on what matters most. And that's why this new year, we're beginning a new sermon series that we're calling 2020 Vision. It's a sermon series where we are going to look and seek greater clarity about who God is calling us to be. We're going to view the world through the lens of Jesus so that we can see things clearly, maybe for the very first time. Because once you see the world clearly, well, you never want to go back again. Things are just too beautiful. So that's where we're headed in the coming weeks, in this coming new year. But before we begin this journey together, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, how long do you wait before you take down your Christmas tree? That's a question I love to ask people this time of year. Now, if you're anything like my neighbors growing up, you take down your Christmas decorations on Christmas Day at around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. My family would still be in our PJs, enjoying Christmas brunch, opening presents, when we would look out the window and we would see our neighbor dragging a barren Christmas tree to the side of the road. If you're like my neighbors, the experience of Christmas, it lasts about 6 hours. And then it's over. Or maybe you're more like my friends from seminary, who always insisted on leaving up their Christmas decorations until Epiphany. Yeah, Epiphany, it marks the official end of the Christmas season in the Christian church. It's the time when we celebrate the wise men coming, bringing their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. It happens on January 6th every year. So if you're like my friends from seminary, well, you love to leave up your Christmas decorations the full 12 days of Christmas. Maybe you're like I am this time of year, where you are so exhausted by all of the celebrations over this past month that the mere suggestion of taking down your Christmas tree, it is too much to bear. In fact, a couple years ago, I waited so long to take down our Christmas tree, we actually missed our curbside pickup, which meant I had to store our old tree in the backyard hidden for an entire year until it could be picked up the following January. You see, for my family, Christmas can last a very long time. Of course, how long you celebrate Christmas, it might depend on which Christmas story you choose to read in the scriptures. For you see, the Bible gives us not just one story of Jesus' birth, the Bible gives us three different accounts of Jesus' birth, and each account ends in a slightly different way. The Gospel of Luke, for instance, ends the story of Christmas on Christmas Day, with the arrival of the shepherds and the angels in Bethlehem. The Gospel of Matthew, it ends on Epiphany, when the wise men show up, bringing their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then we come to the Gospel of John, whose story of Jesus' birth is so unique, so different, it doesn't even have an ending. Notice, in John's account of the Christmas story, there is no manger, no wise men, no angels, no shepherd. Instead, for John, the story of Christmas, the story of Jesus' birth, well, it is a story of creation. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. Yes, that is the story of Christmas for John. For John, the story of Christmas, it's the story of God's recreation of the world. Because John believes that when Jesus was born, not only did a new child enter into the world, but a new opportunity as well. The opportunity to begin again. Did you hear the language of Genesis in our scripture passage this morning? In the beginning. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness swept across the waters. John uses the exact same language, the exact same words in Greek, in fact, because he wants his readers to understand that the story they are about to read, it is the story of a new creation, and it's of equal importance to the first creation. Because you see, for the gospel author, John, whenever Jesus Christ is born, the world begins again. There used to be a weekly radio show in Atlanta that would always begin its broadcast the exact same way. It was a weekend hunting show that began at 4 a.m. every Saturday morning. And every time the show began, the announcer would start by channeling his inner Robin Williams. And he would say, "Good morning! Welcome to a brand new, completely unused Saturday!" The man had way too much energy for 4 a.m. And yet that's the very announcement John makes in our scripture passage this morning. John is announcing that Christmas is a new day, that the world has started over again. John offers a Christmas message of hope. A Christmas message of new beginnings. It's a message that we need to hear again and again and again. A couple years ago, a man walked into my office with a very unusual request. The man was a visitor to our church. He had worshiped with us a few times before, but, well, I hadn't gotten to know him all that well. "Pastor Beam," he said to me, "I was wondering if you could do me a favor." He said, "I have $200 in my pocket. And if I give you this money, I was wondering, would you allow me the opportunity to stand up in front of the entire congregation at the end of a worship service and confess all my sins. I said, I'm sorry, what? He said, my sins. I want to confess my sins to the entire church. Now, I must admit, I was caught off guard by the request. No one had ever asked me that before. Now, I stammered for our response. I said, well, you know, in the Methodist tradition, we don't think it's necessary to confess all your sins in front of everyone. I mean, I will gladly sit here and listen to your confession if you like, especially if you're going to pay me $200. I didn't really say that. I said, or I could gather a small group of people and we could pray with you and pray for you. But does it have to be in front of everyone? The man said, yes. He said, after everything I've done in my life, I need to confess in front of everyone. The man wouldn't tell me what exactly he wanted to confess. And when I told him that I didn't think a Sunday morning was the best place for that to happen, he left. And he did not return again. You know, as much as we love the angels and shepherds in Luke's gospel, and as much as we love the wise men and kings in Matthew's gospel, maybe we all need just a little bit more of John's gospel this Christmas season. Maybe we all need to be reminded that the world starts over again on Christmas and that today is a brand new, completely unused day. Because the scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, your sins have already been forgiven. And that anyone in Christ Jesus, that one is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Because we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son. Yes, today the world begins again. The world starts over on Christmas. So that no matter what has happened in the past, a new beginning has come. Pastor by the name of Tom Long tells the story of a church member of his who joined his congregation after several years of battling addiction. The man's name was Marshall, and he came to the church through the outreach and sobriety center of the congregation. He was a shining example of what a transformed life could look like. Not only was Marshall sober for 3 years, but he had also started volunteering back at the outreach center, working with other men, helping to encourage them in their recovery. His life was a testimony to the goodness of God. But then one morning, Tom Long said, Marshall did not show up to volunteer, and he did not answer his cell phone. And the church soon discovered that he was back in a DeKalb County jail. Dr. Long said he was disappointed, heartbroken, really. But he went to visit his friend and fellow church member. And when he saw Marshall through the protected glass, he began by just asking him, saying, what happened? But Marshall just smiled. He said, Reverend Long, you know, I was at the outreach center one day counseling people. I was telling them that they needed to do right in this life. And I realized that I was not living what I was preaching. He said, you know, I had an old warrant out for my arrest. It was years old. It would have never caught up with me, but I knew about it. And so on Christmas Eve, I turned myself in. They say I'm going to be out by Easter. I can't wait to get back to church for Easter. But until then, he said, I've set up my own outreach center in the prison. He said, a lot of these guys, they can't read or write, so I write letters to their girlfriends and their wives for them. And every night, we hold a prayer service in my cell. Not many guys come, but we pray for other prisoners. We pray for the guards, too. And I let these men know, I tell them that no matter who they were in the past, it does not compare to who God has made them today. I tell them, it's happened to me, it can happen to you as well. Yes, as far as the east is from the west, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. The whole world starts over on Christmas. Because a light, it shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. And today is a brand new, completely unused Sunday. And today, today you get to begin again. Thanks be to God. And amen. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you that indeed you are not a God of endings, but a God of new beginnings. We thank you, God, that we do not need to run from the past. For you have set that past aside and you have allowed us to start once more. So fill us with such hope this day that we might indeed be your Christmas people. That we might be a light shining in a dark world, knowing that that darkness will never overcome it. Bless us this day, O Lord. Renew us in strength, courage, and faith. We offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen.